reading is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 14, which can be found on page 677 if you wish to follow the reading in your church Bibles. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. The conclusion of the matter, not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. Their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is from John 15, verses 9 to 17. And you can find it in page 1083 in the church Bibles. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father gave you whatever you you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Do take a seat. Come to the last in our little sermon series on the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't know if you'll find that an encouragement or if you've found a lot of depth in Ecclesiastes as you go along. It certainly brings a certain sort of tone to the services. If you'd like to have the passage in front of you, there should be a Bible somewhere fairly close to hand. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That seems appropriate enough for today. We've just baptized Malcolm. We've taken this young child and taken this step of joining him into the life of Christ's church. There are many things that we could say about baptizing infants, but one must be that you can always know God. You can always be in his presence. You can always live life with him and for him, even from your earliest days. And we trust and pray today that Malcolm will indeed know these things and grow up in them. But the advice here at the start of Ecclesiastes 12 is not just advice for babies. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. To some extent or other, advice for us all. Last week, at the end of chapter 11, we got some parallel advice. Be happy, young man, while you are young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. And this is one of the key thoughts we've probably noticed in this rather gloomy book of Ecclesiastes. That however meaningless, however difficult life can look to us, it's right to enjoy the simple life that you have, and to do so when you have these good things. We live in a world, don't we, where we often define our happiness against what others have. And that's not the advice here. Be happy. Let your heart give you joy. Remember your Creator. That's the path the teacher suggests to a good life. Not chasing after the big house or the fast car, or at least the faster car than the person next door, or the overflowing bank account. But the teacher in Ecclesiastes is always a bit prone to some gloomy realism, and there will come a time when this isn't so easy to find, this enjoyment. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. We get old, that's his point. And as we age, things can become tough. Verses 2 to 7, it seems to me at least, are a poem about getting old. A rather beautiful poem about a less than beautiful subject. About life darkening, eyes and ears becoming less acute, the pleasures of the outside world fading. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. As we get old, the world can close in and close down, and it's harder to find that joy. I'm sure the advice remains to enjoy what you can, to be glad in it, to celebrate it, but it may be hard. And then you die. Then man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. And the call comes to us again, remember him. Remember God, not just to the infant, but to us all. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Beautiful, yes, but not very cheerful. Life is a silver cord which one day will be cut, a golden bowl that will be dashed to the ground. And verse 8 sums up the teacher's other great cry, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. The same summary you got right at the very start of the book before he got into his teaching. In the face of death, and this is one of his big points, in the face of death, everything can seem nothing worth, all hope undercut, all promise denied. We probably recognise something of that in our world, don't we? We live in a society where we don't much like thinking about death. We try to hide it away. We do our best to combat it, particularly perhaps through medicine and the like. We may hope to achieve things in our lives, but most of us, I suspect, are realistic enough to know that they're not going to last all that long, even in the memories of others. As Woody Allen put it, and Woody Allen and Ecclesiastes go quite well together. As Woody Allen put it, I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality through not dying. I don't want to live on in the hearts of my countrymen. I want to live on in my apartment. I love that line. We don't like death. We don't like to think about it. And as we draw to the end of this book, it's good to notice that the teacher's advice is different. Don't seek after a life beyond your days. Don't rely on great achievements to give you meaning and purpose. Take the life you have and live it well. Enjoy it. Follow the desires of your heart. Don't do bad things, but pursue the good. That's what life is about. And remember your Creator. Indeed, do more than remember your Creator. And in the second half of this passage, we stop getting the thoughts of the teacher and we look back, the narrator, if you like, the person who writes the beginning and the end of this book, says something about what they think about what the teacher has told us. In the middle, we're told the teacher is wise and he gives knowledge which is of real use to people. He gives it in the form of words not only true but beautiful. We've seen some of those words today. It would be quite easy to imagine a different conclusion to this book, saying that the teacher basically got it wrong, that if we only look at it aright, everything is hunky-dory in the world around us. Just follow the program, support the political party, eat enough fruit and veg, and all will be well. But that isn't the conclusion. This world, made good by God, made bad by human sin, is not always an easy place to live. And if we live for its rewards and pleasures, we need to be wary about looking too hard at the value of our lives. To live in it, we need wisdom, and this is a book of wisdom, to goad us in the right direction. That's kind of the picture used, a sharp end on a long stick, to goad us in the right direction is the picture of wisdom here, to fix us on the right path. It's the shepherd's wisdom, to keep his flock from danger, to help them to good pasture. And at the end, a final word, Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Remember your Creator, follow your Shepherd, fear God and keep his commandments. Not fear in the sense of living in dread, but in honouring, respecting, worshipping God. Life in trembling trust of the one who is indeed our Creator. And at the heart of that is following the guidance he gives us for life. Earlier in the service, Malcolm's parents and godparents spoke on his behalf that he would turn away from sin, the world, and the devil, that he would turn to Christ. In a sense, that's what we're talking about here, the fundamental step of faith into God's way of living in the world, which then works itself out in the way we saw earlier. In Jesus Christ, that way is open to us all. What do you need to come into God's kingdom, to come in to this right relationship with him? Turn around is the basic answer. Turn away from the wrong and towards the right. And we can do it because of the cross, because God himself came to bear the weight of the sin that separates us from God and from man. If there are any here today who haven't made that step before, who haven't turned the focus of their life around like that, think about it today. If you'd like to know more, do have a word with me after the service. But if your life is of the turned around variety, then live out the wisdom we find here. Focused on the normal things of life that bring joy, remembering your Creator, following his call. For that is the path to a good life, even a happy life in this troubled world we inhabit. And that too is the call of God. Moment of quiet, and we'll pray. Father God, we hold our lives open before you. We know how easy it is to chase off after the wrong things, to lose ourselves in things which are not good. We know how easy it is to look at our lives and wonder what there is of worth and value in them. And Father, we pray you would help us to learn something of this wisdom of Ecclesiastes, to learn that we can live well and happily with what we have, with the simple things of life. But learn too that we can find that meaning, that hope, that future in life with you. We thank you that your Son has died that we might have life. We pray you would help us to live faithfully to that, and faithfully to follow your guidance for our lives, that we might live them well and happily. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.